Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. I am Heather Choate. I am very grateful and honored to be with you today as we talk about something that's very important, our marriages, our relationships, and specifically five common mistakes that we see people make when their spouse wants out and what to do instead. So my partner, Mark Johnston, our international marriage expert, will not be joining me today. He is running another boot camp for us and getting people incredible results over there. And we so appreciate the work that he is doing. So today I'm going to share with you really big mistakes that we see a lot of couples make when their spouse is pulling away from them. Mark and I, we've had the privilege of now helping thousands of people around the world to save their marriages. We consider ourselves the ICU of marriages. And so we really know some of these common mistakes. We've been able to see so many couples and study what happens at this kind of stage in relationship that we can really identify some really common pitfalls. And I want to share those with you today and help you know what you must do instead to safely and quickly get your spouse back in love with you and back home for good. Because we believe marriage is sacred and that it's worth fighting for. Before I get to that, though, I'm going to go over to our client win of the week. This one comes from Dawn, and she posts this beautiful picture. I wish I could come through the podcast if you're listening to this on iTunes or on Spotify or any other channel and show you this beautiful picture. I'm jealous, honestly, looking at this picture that Dawn shared. She says, thanks to High Thrive Coaching, we restored our marriage and are celebrating our anniversary in Oahu. And there she is with her husband. Looks like they're in front of a pool or something with just beautiful palm trees in the background and flowers. And I'm so jealous. I'm dreaming of Hawaii. So I know Dawn, her husband was completely checked out, was wanting a divorce. And she applied our PATH method and they have successfully restored their marriage and are now celebrating in Oahu. So huge congratulations to you, Dawn. Keep up the good work. You've done absolutely fabulous. And we always love sharing these wins to give us hope, to give us perspective, and to know that no matter what might be going on in our marriage right now, whatever challenges we might be facing, that 95% of the time they can be overcome. So thanks for sharing that with us and for giving us so much hope. All right, so without further ado, let's dive into the five big common mistakes that we see people make when their spouse is pulling away from them. Maybe they're saying, I want a divorce. Maybe they're separated. Maybe they're saying, I'm in love with someone else. So if that's you, this podcast is for you. I really want you to pay attention and check in with yourself. There may be a point in the podcast today as I'm sharing some of these really common mistakes that you say, oh, yep, whoops, I have been falling into that trap. I've been falling into that mistake. And give yourself some grace about that at the same time. Having awareness without judgment is really important to be able to recognize where we are and get solutions to where we really want to be. I know for me, sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow. And I'm personally going on like a nutrition journey right now. And I know this isn't really related to marriage, but there are some things that are happening that I'm realizing, oh, wow, I have really not been living up to my full potential. I've been really giving in to some emotional eating here and there. And that awareness is hard to swallow. And it's hard to hear, like, really wake up. Sometimes we know these things, but we're not even really willing to really recognize them. Like we might know them like subconsciously that that's not really serving us, but really have awareness and give yourself some grace that, yeah, maybe I haven't been doing this the best way that I could, or maybe I just didn't know up until this point. The reason why I call them common is because they're common. These are common mistakes. And, you know, more and more marriages are ending in divorce. More and more couples are unhappy. And so we really need to start to turn the tide. Just because it's normal doesn't mean that's the way it has to be. Just because all of your friends are acting this way and that's how they respond to relationship challenges doesn't mean that has to be true for you. So I really want you to listen to your inner guidance system, your inner voice, that inner quieter part of yourself that knows truth for you. And you know what you really want and you know where you really want to go. So make sure that you're listening to that. I can't tell you what it is. Only you can tell you what it is for you. And so be in tune to that and listen to it, its guidance and saying, it's okay. Where I am right now, it may not be the best, but here is where I want to go forward. And this is what I really want. So we don't have to follow the crowd into relationship misery. And we don't have to follow the crowd into years of failed relationships. We don't have to follow the crowd into broken homes and broken hearts and broken dreams and broken lives. We don't have to follow the crowd. We can learn a new way. So what is the first mistake that we see? The biggest, I'm going to say the very biggest, largest, grandest, whatever you want to call it, most common mistake that we see people seeing when their spouse says, I want out of a relationship, is that they get into desperation. We're lovingly going to call these five mistakes DEATH, the DEATH acronym, DEATH to a marriage. I know that may seem a little melodramatic, but it's an acronym and it works and it really applies. So here it is in a very melodramatic sense. Here's DEATH to your marriage. So D stands for the desperation. And like I said, this is the most common trap that we see people fall into when their spouse is checked out, if they're having an affair, they're wanting a divorce, they get into desperation. Are you feeling a certain level of desperation? And it manifests in different ways. Sometimes it might feel like I just am constantly anxious. I'm really, really worried. I'm very stressed out. Or even I'm panicked and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to try to turn this around, right? So here are some of the common things that we see as people act out of fear. Manipulation. This is where people try to force their spouse to come back. It sounds maybe like this. I'm going to take the kids. I'm going to get custody of them. I'm going to leave. I'm going to take all the money. I'm going to take the house. Anything like that, which is kind of like a manipulation tactic. You're not doing it because you really actually want to do those things. It's because you want them to come back. And you think that if you can just put enough pressure or enough pain on them, that you can kind of force them to come back to you. Okay. The next one is pleading, which obviously is like begging our spouse to come back. I'll do anything. I will take you to Europe for a trip. I will fly you to the moon. I will do anything. I will change anything about myself. And what happens when we get into pleading is that our spouse definitely senses that desperation. And they often know that the things that we're saying aren't even things that we would actually do. So we're just trying to do it to get them back, right? To make the deal sweeter. And we're pleading and we're desperate. Please don't go. Please stay with the kids. Please stay with me. And we get into pleading, which comes out of desperation. And then the next one is freezing, which means like we're so scared to do anything that we don't do anything at all until it's too late. And sometimes not even then. Or it's like, I'm going to put the wool over my eyes, right? I'm going to hide my head in the sand and I'm going to pretend like this isn't happening. And so freezing means instead of lashing out or getting in maybe to manipulation or anything, we just totally freeze up. I often hear people say it like this, like, I'm so scared of doing anything. So I end up doing nothing. I'm so afraid of talking with him or her that I don't know what to say. So I don't say anything at all, right? Or I'm just trying to ignore it and pretend like it's just gonna go away. And then that leads us to the last one, which is lashing out, kind of the opposite side of the freezing, which is lashing out of anger, acting out of rage, acting out of frustration, and lashing out basically comes down to we're trying to make them hurt. So that they realize what they're doing to us, right? I've done this myself. Many of these mistakes I share today, I've also done in my relationship. Like I said, they're common. And so a lot of people fall into them, and we often think that it's normal. But like I said, we don't have to go with the crowd. So lashing out, like I would hurt Ben because I felt hurt. And so I remember even threatening once this really hurtful thing because I felt hurt. And I was like, I'm going to show you how much you hurt me, and I'm going to put you in pain so that you'll stop hurting me. Because maybe if you understand how much you've hurt me, then you would realize what you've done, and then you would stop. Or simply we're just lashing out, trying to get back at them. Maybe we're not trying to get them to understand us, but we're just so mad, we just want to get back at them. We just want to get even. So these are some of the common signs that we see when people are acting out of desperation. So as you're listening to this, do you see yourself in any of them? Do you see these patterns being exhibited in others, right? Like I said, they're very, very common. Have you fallen into this trap? What happens is our spouse says, I want out. And that's scary. And that's hard. And it hurts. And so what we do is we end up getting stuck in that pain and in the fear of being alone and the fear of what's going to happen to us and the fear of what's going to happen to our kids. And what happens is we get stuck in that fear and we act out of that fear and we never really move through it. Conversely, what happens to our relationship is that our spouse senses that fear. They sense our desperation. And I've said it before in many of our trainings, but just imagine that you're in a room with someone that's really freaking out. They're desperate, they're pleading, they're manipulating, they're lashing out, or they're completely frozen in fear. You can sense that tension, even if maybe they're not saying anything, or even if they're trying to say and do the right things. Note that there, okay? If you can sense that there is a lot of fear and desperation in them, what happens to us? Do we feel safe around them? No. We want to get away from them, like as fast as possible. We want to create space from us and that other person so that we can feel safe, because we don't feel safe around very insecure, fearful, desperate people. They're scary to us, right? And so even if you may be doing your very best right now to say the right things, to do the right things, to make some positive changes, I'm going to tell you that if at the heart of it all, you are in a state of fear, it's going to backfire 100% of the time, because your spouse will sense that fear. It will make them feel more unsafe, and they will pull even further away, which is why it's so crucial that we learn how to move through our emotions and how to get to a calm, centered state. Even a state of genuine love and caring and understanding that will naturally draw our spouse to us. We call that our push versus our pull method, right? Instead of pushing or pleading our spouse to want to work with us, that's only going to push them further away. Instead, we get to a calm, centered place, which feels amazing for us, and it has a really positive healing effect on the relationship, because now they can feel safe and comfortable around us as well. All right. So check in with yourself. Are you in a state of calmness? Do you have peace right now, even despite the challenges that you face? Would you say, I am in control. I have confidence. I'm in a state of peace. I'm in a state of self-respect. I'm in a state of confidence, even with all of this going on? Or are you like most people and you're caught up in worry, you're caught up in anxiety, anger, bitterness, even hate? We see that. Or are you in desperation, pleading, and fear? If that's you, like I said, that's really common and you're not alone. And we need to be careful, because this is how most marriages end. Because people never learn how to move through those emotions. They don't know how to process through those emotions. It's not the things that your spouse is doing or saying. It's not the things that they're threatening. It's truly having our own emotions rule us. And until we learn how to manage our emotions, how to move through them, how to allow them to empower us and get us to that clear, calm, centered state, that will continue to show up again and again and again. So one of the really incredible tools that I love that Mark has just introduced into our coaching program is what we call our live chat. Because we realize that there are times when you get triggered, there are times when I get triggered, and there's things that cause us to get into a state of fear or into a state of pain or into a state of anxiety or desperation, right? And in those moments, it's crucial that we have the ability to get the help we need, to get the solutions we need. And if we don't know how to process through those ourselves, that's why Mark and I created this, is so that you have instant access to a coach to help guide you through that in the moment, right? There's no waiting for an appointment. Like, it's no, like, I'm just going to be another appointment on someone's calendar, right? And I'll get to talk about this in 5 days from now, and maybe then I'll get some solutions. But what do I do right now, right? So that's why it's really important that we have immediate help when we need it the most. And what happens is that this really gives us peace of mind. It gives us solutions in the moment when we really need it, so that we can have guidance on what to do with our marriage challenges. So I just love what Marcus said about this here. I'm just going to share this really quick. But he says, having access to a coach whenever I need it is so relieving. I don't feel alone. I don't feel like just another appointment on someone's calendar. There's a real coach ready to help me anytime. So I encourage you that if you're feeling alone, as I know I did very often, I felt like I was the only one going through this, and I was completely terrified because I really had no idea what to do. Like, raise your hand. I know I can't see you, but on the other side of this podcast here, but raise your hand if you've ever felt like that. I just don't know what to do. I'm completely overwhelmed. No one's ever shown me or taught me, how do I deal with this emotion? How do I deal with this situation? Right? And so that's why it's so crucial that we have support and that we have solutions when we need the most. All right. That brings us to our second common mistake, which is expecting our spouse to work on the marriage with us. Remember the acronym, DEATH? So now we're on E, which is expecting. Expecting our spouse to work on the marriage with us. Every time I hear the word expecting now, well, I am expecting, so I think of that, expecting a baby. But when we're expecting certain things out of life or out of people, out of circumstances, I always think of this Tony Robbins quote. He says, trade your expectation for appreciation and you change your life. So why is expectation such a dangerous trap and such a common mistake? Well, it really comes down to when we make promises and we have our spouse and we make our marriage vows. Even some people will call it, you know, and truly believe, and I do as well, I'm one of these, it's a covenant between us and God. But whatever level you have, it's a promise, it's a vow, it's a covenant. That honor should mean that they should work on it with us, and that in sickness and in health and in good times and in bad, right? And so this expectation in this situation often shows up like this, like, you should work on the marriage. You vowed that you would work on it. It's against our religion to get divorced, so you should work on the marriage. You should do it for the kids. And it also shows up like this. I won't work on the relationship until you do. So it's expecting them to go first. It's that whole give and take. Like, I'm not going to give unless you give. And until I see you giving, then I'm not going to give. But what happens in this situation where the spouse is already pulling away, where they're already checked out, they say, I want a divorce. I'm done. I'm not going to work on the relationship. I'm not going to go to counseling. I'm not going to get help. I don't want to work on this with you. I've told you I'm done. I'm in love with someone else, right? Is that when we come to them with these expectations and we say, you should work on the marriage with me, what happens is it doesn't address why they want out, and it's going to fall on deaf ears. And unfortunately, it's actually going to push them even further away, because when we're told, hey, you should do something, human nature is like, I'm not going to. I'm already decided I'm going this direction. And we dig in our heels even further, right? And so it just pushes them further in that direction, because honor, I believe it should It should be something that governs our lives, but at this point, they've already made up their mind that they're out, that they don't want anything more to do with this, and that they're going to be happier somewhere else. And so, again, bringing it to them in this way is only going to push them further away. And then the other side that we see, I'm not going to work on this until you do, is another very, very dangerous one that we need to be very careful of. And I hear this a lot. And by no means am I saying that what they've done is right or that it's justified in any way. I don't know I don't know your specific situation. But what I do often see is that people are saying, well, shouldn't I have them work on it with me? Like, it takes two to tango, right? But what we've seen is that when you're waiting for your spouse to work on the marriage with you and you're saying, I'm not going to do it until they do, is that it's going to be a death sentence for the relationship. Because what are the chances if they're saying, I'm already done, I'm already checked out, I'm already decided, that they're going to want to work on the relationship suddenly, magically? It's not going to happen. And so then what happens is that the relationship ends because neither parties are willing to move. So what we need to do instead is save our marriage on our own by being willing to go first, being willing to make some positive changes first, be willing to process through our emotions, like I said in the first one, and attract our spouse naturally back to us first. And I know that this part can be hard for some people to hear, but we've proven again and again and again that those that are willing to go first, they have an incredible influence over their spouse. Even when they say, I'm checked out, I'm done, I want a divorce, so on. You have an incredible ability to influence your spouse more than you realize. Trust me, I've seen it so many times. Mark and the coaches here, we've seen it so many times. It's incredible the mountains that you can move, the walls that can be brought down. And I know it can be hard to hear again because it's like, well, that's not fair. No, it's not fair, but it's what needs to happen. And we're not saying it's forever either. So be willing to go first, be willing to learn these skills, be willing to learn the right method to get them back. And then eventually the relationship will be brought into balance and you can ask them for that in turn. So sometimes we say, meet your partner's needs, identify what their needs are, start to meet those needs. If they're saying, I want more freedom in my life, find out what that means and start to meet that, right? We've said it here on the podcast. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back to the other episodes and watch them, listen to them, and get that foundation of what I'm talking about right now. It can be exhausting when you're saying, I am meeting their needs. I am working on positive communication. I am setting healthy boundaries, and I'm the only one, and it's really hard. But the bigger picture that I want to help you understand is that it's not forever. And when you do it consistently and you do put in the time and the effort to get there, eventually the relationship will come in balance. And then you can ask your partner to meet your needs and to help work together as a team on the marriage. But right now, again, asking them to do it at this stage is only going to push them further away. So be very careful about that expectation of my spouse should work on this, or I'm not going to work on it until they do. Be willing to go first. All right, that brings us to our third big common mistake, which is A, assuming their intentions. Assuming their intentions. Mark and I just did a wonderful podcast on this. I think it was episode 16. I don't exactly remember, but I know that it's talking about how to restore the relationship and how to bring healing and peace back into the relationship. And we talk about what most people do is that they assume something negative about an actually really neutral situation. So here's what it looks like. Most people, even I do this, we make assumptions about our spouse. And again, we need to be really careful about our expectations and our assumptions. For instance, we'll say something like, they did this to hurt me intentionally. I had this happen over the weekend. I tell you guys, I keep it super real. Like, Ben and I have been married almost 13 years. We have 7, soon to be 8 children. And there are times when we assume negatively of each other or whatever, right? And if I assume that he did something to hurt me intentionally, then I'm taking it to another level, right? I'm assuming negative things. I'm assuming what they mean. And I might say, like, they don't respect me. They never respect me. They're always neglecting me, not listening to me, and so on. And so we assume we know why our spouse did what they did. We just take our own story, we take our own evidence, and without any real understanding for them, we create our own story and we say, that's it. That's it. That's the law. That's the Bible, right? This is the truth. I have the complete truth and I'm justified in it. And now I'm going to react emotionally, right? I'm laughing because I've done this so many times myself. And so as we react emotionally to our perceptions of those situations, then some really damaging and further division occurs. So here are some examples that we've seen. All right, so he stayed at work late. He must be seeing someone else. So I'm gonna really lay it into him when he gets home and demand to know the truth. And we don't realize that maybe he stayed at work late because he had an important assignment, or maybe he's working really hard to provide for his family, right? And so we just immediately create this whole story and then we just run with it. I'm sure you're probably nodding your head on the other side of this. You're saying, yeah, I've done that myself. Here's another one. She won't answer my texts. So she must be shutting me out. So I'm going to shut her out, right? He isn't affectionate in public. So he must be embarrassed of me. So I must not be good enough. Do you see how we take some of these perceived situations and we create an entire story around it and we assume we know what they're doing and why they're doing it? So what should we do instead? How can we know for certain why our spouse is doing what they are doing, right? How many times do we wish we could be a mind reader of our spouse? And how can we react positively and effectively to our spouse's actions and choices, even when they are hurtful? Even when we find out the truth that it was intended to be hurtful, right? So in our PATH method, we help you master how to understand your spouse and how to really see their perspective. It's the P in PATH, it's perspective. It's knowing where they're really coming from, kind of clearing the slate of our own story, wiping the chalkboard clean, however you want to visualize that. But it's saying, okay, here's my story. It's really nasty. I've built up a lot of evidence about it and it's really hurting and painful for me and I'm really scared and mad about it. But hey, I actually want to just know you. So when you stayed late at work, what was going on? I just want to understand where you're coming from. When you said, I'm in love with her and I never really loved you, what did you mean? I want to understand where you're coming from with no other agenda than I want to understand you. When you went to pornography again and I found out about it and you lied about it, what is that providing for you? In a really non-judgmental way, truly wanting to understand. And maybe you'll discover that they're dealing with a ton of anxiety and that addiction, maybe pornography or an affair or something else, is their outlet. And it doesn't mean it's the right behavior, but it helps you to have compassion and understanding for why they are doing it. I've seen that so many times of hearts softened or hearts hardened at this crucial junction. We can either go further into our story saying they intentionally are doing this to hurt me, or we can say, why are they doing this? Where are they coming from? What is their background? What is their history? And that gives us compassion, which then leads us to a softer heart and able to heal and better even able to help them, saying, okay, I realize you're really struggling with this. I didn't know that before. All I knew is that it really hurt me. And I was so stuck in my pain and my anguish over this that I couldn't even see yours. Maybe we can help each other with this. Do you see how that can look like? And so this is why we start with perspective, is because we need to know what our spouse really means, where they're really coming from. And that's why it's so crucial that we don't just assume their intentions, but that we actually build a bridge of understanding between us. That's not something that we're taught. I was never taught, hey, here's how you really understand another person. Here's how you can kind of like not disregard your emotions, but put them aside for a moment so that maybe there's another way of looking at this. I know I said that in that podcast with Mark. Is there another way of looking at this? And when I understand the people around me, even when they've done really hurtful things or really quote unquote bad things, bad behaviors that they should just stop doing, right? When I actually know where they're coming from and why they're doing it, then it gives me that perspective and helps me to heal and often creates a desire in me to help them. So it's incredibly healing, and that's why we always want to start with perspective. All right, number four. The fourth big mistake, which takes us to T, I'm going to get a quick drink, is taking too long to get help. So a huge mistake that we see people make, a very common mistake, is that people wait too long to get serious help. We asked our relationship reboot students, and hundreds of them replied, and they told us that they'd wished they'd started sooner. It was almost universal across the board. I didn't hear a single one was like, oh no, I think I started right on time. No, it was always like, I wish I'd started 6 months ago. I wish I'd started 9 months ago, 2 years ago. I wish I'd started before we were married, right? I wish I'd started like the first year of marriage. This would have been so important. Here's a quote that we got. I wish I would have known that the problems were so bad earlier. I got blindsided. I wish I'd started 2 years ago. Heck, 10 months ago when my world was unraveling, if I had even known about you guys, I think it may have changed everything. Then I wouldn't be where I am now, separated and living apart. So I want you guys to give yourself some grace here, because probably if you're at this stage where your spouse really wants out, then you're feeling this, like, dang it, why didn't I start sooner? Why didn't I see the warning signs sooner? Or maybe I even did see the warning signs sooner or earlier, but I didn't take action. I didn't know it was that bad. And now that I know it's that bad, now I'm going to get serious help. So here are some typical stages of marriage breakdown. Now, this isn't like across the board always going to be applicable. You and your spouse may have jumped a stage. It doesn't always completely fit, but it's kind of just I'm thinking of Pirates of the Caribbean. They're more like guidelines than actual rules, right? So this is more of a guideline. So what happens is we start off, right? We start off happy. We start off in love. Then we get kind of complacent. And then what happens? We start getting into tension and coldness. Things start to become difficult, but they're still bearable, right? We maybe have occasional fights or occasional like shutdowns emotionally. Maybe we start seeing that our spouse or even we aren't meeting their needs, they're not meeting our needs, that kind of thing. And then that can deteriorate into fighting, withholding. And so needs now are really not being met and things are getting very uncomfortable. We get in a cycle of you're not meeting my needs, I'm not going to meet your needs. You're not physically intimate with me, so I'm not going to be emotionally vulnerable with you, right? And we get into these cycles of withholding from each other what the other person is needing or wanting. And then if this goes on long enough, it tends to lead into distrust, because now we don't feel like they're going to meet our needs, and they also often don't feel that as well. So here partners start to believe that they won't really be happy or safe together, that this isn't where they're going to have those needs. And there's six common emotional needs that we all have as human beings. And if they're not being met in the marriage, then we start to distrust that they're ever going to be met. And so we start to pull away even further. And then that leads to a breakdown where the partner says, I want out. I want out. I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm in love with someone else. I love you, but I'm not in love with you, anything like that. And then that leads to distance, which means like separation physically, like separation in their own home, separation to another home, or separation emotionally and intimately occurs. So it's like we're putting up major walls now. Walls have been there before, but now they're like really firm and they're holding to them. Then that leads to fixation. And at this point, the partner is determined on leaving and being happy somewhere else. The final stage is finalization. Final stage, finalization. I know that was super creative when I came up with that. Couldn't think of anything better. So the final stage is finalization. And here the partner is past the point of no return. In other words, they're completely like married to someone else. And, that's basically it. So what's interesting to note is that most people get help in the fixation or even the finalization stage. They want to get help and they get serious about getting real help and real solutions when their partner is determined on leaving and being happy somewhere else. And the interesting thing to note is that most counselors and most other pastors and other programs, while very well-meaning, only will help in the first few stages between the tension and the coldness and the distrust. Because in that stage, both partners are at least on the fence about working on the marriage. They're not completely a breakdown where they say, I want out, right? And so a lot of other pastors and coaches that we've talked to and that we've heard from all you, the thousands of people in our audience and everything, is that they say, they won't work with me unless my husband or my wife is also willing to work on the marriage. And so, because there's a couple reasons for that, but it's easier for them. It is. It's way easier. Mark and I know if we can get two people working with us in our coaching program, the results are amazing. And it's easy for us and it's easy for them. It's just easier when both people want to work on it. But the problem is that most people don't get help at that stage. Most people don't get help until their partner is determined on leaving and being happy somewhere else. And then they go to the counselor or they go to the pastor or they go to some other coach or program. And the person says, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I can only help you if your spouse is willing to work on it with you. Oh, and by the way, it looks really good on my statistics and my success record because it's easier. Sorry, sometimes that happens. Not everyone. Often they have really, really good intentions, but sometimes they just want to have their success rate really, really high. And that's an easy way to do it if you have both people willing to work on the relationship. And so what happens is that people reach out for help and then they get this message. Your spouse isn't willing to work on it with you, then we can't help you. And so that leads people to think that it's too late to get help. Where we help here, Mark and I, here in Thriving Marriage and at High Thrive Coaching, is we help at the very last, second to last stage, the fixation stage, where your partner is determined on leaving and being happy somewhere else. We help those whose spouse is completely checked out, wanting a divorce, having an affair, and are done. And what we've learned is that with the right method, we can have incredible success. And time again, we've helped people save marriages, even at this later stage. But like I said, it only works with the right method. And going to a lot of the books and podcasts and YouTube and everything is just often very ineffective in this stage. It's great, like the five love languages. I love that, and there's a lot of truth to that, and we hear a lot of good things from that. But at this stage, that's not going to save your marriage. Like, knowing their love language isn't going to help them want to leave their affair partner. You know, it can help with reconnecting and other things, but it's not going to solve those deeper root issues, right? And so what we really want to do is make sure that we get the right treatment, if you want to call it, or the right method for the right problems. I really like to compare this to an ICU, right? But if someone comes in with a bleeding neck, say their neck got severed. I know this is gory. We're getting into Halloween right now, so my kids would love it. But if they come in with a severed neck, we're not going to say, oh, here's a Flintstone vitamin. It's going to help you feel a lot better, right? And we're not going to say, oh, here's a Band-Aid, you know, like I just put on my daughter's knee this morning. It was a big drama. But, you know, like, that's not the help that's needed at that stage. No, we're going to go in there and say, this is serious. We need to get the right solutions and we need to get them fast. We don't have time to waste. We can't, you know, mess around with conflicting or confusing methods or maybe surface level symptoms. We need to fix this and we need to fix it now. So what happens, what that looks like is like what Dwayne said here. Katie is putting her wedding ring back on. Leah, my husband left the other woman and is dedicated to working on our relationship. We're better now than ever before. I love that Leah said that because there's so much truth in what she said. We're better now than ever before. Even before the affair happened, things weren't that great and they didn't have the skills that now they have. And now they have an incredible relationship and are truly growing and thriving together with their two beautiful baby boys. I love watching them. And I could go on and on, right? We have so many success stories and proof that it's not too late. So be really careful of, first of all, waiting till it's too late, but also falling into the trap that, and the false thinking that it is too late. Because more often than not, like I said, 95% of the time, the marriage can still be saved. The only time when it can't be saved is when it's gone completely to finalization. Interesting side note here is that finalization doesn't necessarily mean divorced. We've even had people that were divorced, completely divorced, right? Completely legally divorced, come back together. But those that are now married and moved on completely, that's when it's too late. So it's important to be aware of where you might be in that kind of stage of marriage breakdown and make sure that you get the right solutions at the right time to solve them. All right, that brings us to our fifth common biggest mistake. This is our H in our lovely DEATH acronym, which is holding on to old patterns. And I'm going to give a case study here of one of our clients, Courtney. And Courtney felt like if she was upset about something, then she should let her husband know. She wasn't one that kind of bottled it in or suppressed it. If she was mad, it was like, you knew it, right? And this often looked like her shaming her husband, blaming her husband, yelling at him, calling him names. You know, she talked about having just so much anger inside. She didn't know what to do and just kind of just all explode out at once. And then she'd feel really bad about it, but the damage was already done. And she didn't know how to stop this cycle. And the result was that her husband naturally didn't want to really be around her anymore as a married couple. And he started staying out late, sometimes not coming home. So if you go back to our stages of marriage breakdown, this is going into the deterioration, right? And into the separation part of withdrawing and creating distance, right? So Courtney realized that she needed to make some changes to the patterns of interaction that she had with her husband. And like many of us, she said, I'm stuck in this cycle. I just keep doing these same things. I don't know how to change it. And so please help me. I want to learn a new way. I've been doing this for years and I'm realizing that it's destroying my family and I'm not happy. So I'm ready to learn a new way of doing this. I want to learn how to communicate my feelings because some of the things he's doing are really hurting and bothering me and I feel like I should be able to talk about them, but I don't know how to do it without it escalating. So we showed her how to do that, how to calm down, how to find that kind of inner strength and the inner peace, how to effectively communicate what she was feeling and share how she felt in a productive manner. And then her husband felt safer around her. She wasn't exhibiting the same behavior anymore. And she also wasn't in that fear or that desperation that we talked about at the very beginning. She became a safe place for him and he started to notice the difference. And he was excited because he's like, I am on board with making things better. I've been wanting this for years. I've been wanting it for her. I've been wanting it for us. I've been wanting it for our kids. So I'm ready. If this is what she's really doing and this is how much you guys have already helped her, then I'm in. I would love to help her and help us and help our kids, right? So he was willing to meet with us and that, of course, is a huge win. And so then changing her pattern really opened up these avenues to reconcile with him. It opened up his heart. It helped him to feel safe around her again and helped her to have more confidence in herself to the point where they're now both working on the relationship and experiencing some incredible momentum there. So ask yourself, am I stuck in some old patterns, some old habits, some old behaviors with my spouse? What effect are these having? Be really real. Again, have that awareness without judgment. What effect are these old patterns having? Maybe you're completely opposite of Courtney and it's not that you're blowing up and blaming and name calling and yelling. Maybe it's that you're withdrawing and you're shutting out and you're closed off and you're scared. What effect is that old pattern having? In the last podcast, I went into the laws, right? And I talked about how to really attract what we want and how to find the love that we want, that it's already within us. And so maybe even what patterns or what habits are you trapped in inside yourself that are going to keep showing up for you unless you learn how to change them? So many times we can see the patterns in someone else's life. Like we can see, oh man, she just keeps getting in one abusive relationship after the other. She just gets out of one and she goes right back into another. Or, you know, he just keeps getting in relationships where women cheat on him. What is going on? And we can see that there's this pattern that keeps showing up for them. And we know that, I think most of us, maybe not, but I think that most of us can have this understanding that there's something going on internally in that person that's having this show up for them again and again and again and again. They're really not learning the lessons. They're not making some of those internal changes. They keep attracting the same people and the same challenges and the same problems again and again and again. And sometimes it's easier for us to see those in other people outside of ourselves, right? And we don't realize that we have some patterns that we are also stuck in that are going to have the same situations, the same challenges, the same types of relationships show up for us again and again and again and again until we learn how to change those. And so that is why we focus on deep internal change. That turns off a lot of people because it's easier to just want to fix the symptoms. It's easier to want to just band-aid it and keep going. It's hard to look at yourself and realize that there are things inside of me that aren't serving me. But it's easier when you can say, and the truth is that many of these things are things that we picked up from childhood on. Different events happened to us, different messages from our culture, our parents, and we just picked up on these things and we started to believe them and they showed up for us and we started to realize, oh, that must be true. And then another thing happened in our life. Oh, that is true. And then another thing happened. See, it's true. And then another thing happens. It's always going to be true. And then we start to believe that it is reality, when in truth, it's just a story that we've told ourselves and that we can change that story. And when we change those patterns within ourselves and also within our relationship, then the results start to change. And that is a beautiful thing. And that is why we're here, is to help facilitate that kind of change. We aren't content with just the surface. We aren't content with just, you know, putting a band-aid on things. Mark and I, at the core of who we are and the core of this company that we've created, we are about creating real change, lasting change, real healing, so that people can experience true happiness. That's it. At the end of the day, the bottom of the line, whatever I'm trying to say, that's why we're doing this. And so if that then you're in the right place. So keep listening. If it turns you off, if you're like, ah, this is too uncomfortable, change is too hard, and that's not for me, then that's not for you. And that's okay. But I know that we've attracted so many people to us and made this movement now that there are people that are ready for us for this. And there are people in the world that aren't comfortable with just going with the status quo anymore. They're not comfortable with just living with pain and thinking that it's normal and thinking that it's okay. But they're really wanting to not just survive, but thrive. I know that sounds like a cheesy tagline, but it's true. You can either survive your life or you can choose to thrive and experience incredible joy and happiness and peace and centeredness, even despite the challenges that we face. So the program that we have here, especially our one-on-one coaching that we talk about every single podcast, because it truly is the best and the fastest way to save your marriage, to break those old patterns, to move out of fear, move out of desperation, help you truly understand your spouse, overcome every single of those five big common mistakes I talked about today, is so that you can heal. And it's for serious people that are ready to be successful in their marriage and get their spouse back fast. That's why we've created it. So if that is you, I encourage you to please book a complimentary consultation call with us to see which program will be the best fit for you and help move you forward in your relationship. And if you know that coaching isn't the right fit for you right now, and maybe a course is a better fit for you, then please check out the PATH course that we have at highthrivecoaching.com. All right, that brings us to our marriage myth buster. And I like turning this one over to Mark usually because he has such profound things to say, but you have me. So marriage myth buster. These mistakes are what everyone does, is what I'm going to say today. So these five mistakes, Heather, you talked about desperation, you talked about manipulation, you talked about pleading, you talked about assuming that their spouse, assuming their intentions, expecting the spouse to work on with them, waiting until it's too late and holding on to old patterns. That's just what everyone does. And I would agree with you because they're common, but it's not what everyone does. We are turning the tide. We are making a stand and saying it doesn't have to be that way. like I said, 95% of marriages can and should be saved, or at least we should do the work to learn the lessons that are before us. Because if not, those old patterns, those old habits, those old internal beliefs and stories are going to keep showing up for us again and again and again. And we're going to keep living in the same pain and keep having failed relationship after failed relationship. And to me, that is a tragedy and it's not okay. But you're here and you're listening because you're one of those people that says, I'm going to choose a different way. I'm not going to go with the crowd. I recognize that these are common mistakes. And I recognize that, you know, my heart, my mind often want to go into fear and desperation and to expecting them to want to work on the marriage with me. And it wants to stay holding on to old patterns. It wants to wait until, you know, maybe things are just going to get better. And it wants to wait until like it's too late, right? Those things are all natural. They're all common, but I'm here because I want to learn a new way. I want to do something different because unless I do, I'm going to keep getting the same results. I don't want those same results. I want to have real, lasting happiness and joy. And so if you're feeling like, well, Heather, that sounds really nice, but how often does that actually happen? You know, these marriage mistakes, most people end in divorce. This is just really common. It's what everyone does. Then I would challenge you to go check out our vault page. It's at not High Thrive Coaching. It's at our relationshiprebootcourse.com/vault page. And you can see just how many people are turning that tide with us. And they're learning these things and they're understanding we don't have to keep making the same common mistakes. We can learn some new skills. We can learn and grow from these challenges. We can become better people. In fact, we're going to become the best versions of ourselves. And they're doing it. And it's inspiring and it's fabulous and it's real. This is reality. And so this movement that we want to make here is to affect the world and to help people realize that marriage is sacred and that we're here to live our very best lives. Time is very short. Life is very precious. And so it's our job to make the most of it now. No one else is going to do it for us. We have to step up and be the ones willing to do it. All right. Now, next episode, I'll actually be recording tomorrow here in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group. If you're on with me live, make sure you tune in tomorrow at the same time. But next episode, we're going to bring on a very special guest, one of those people who has turned the tide, who said, enough is enough. I don't want to keep living my life this way. And we're going to be talking with our special guest, Gloria, as she shares with us her journey working on her marriage and the powerful lessons she has learned. Thank you so much for joining me today, and we will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.